I'm very thankful to be with you this morning. I'm thankful for the gospel of salvation. Thankful for His looking upon us in mercies. I'm thankful for the Lord's patience with us, for me. I make mistakes, but I have a Lord that loves me, looks after me, cares for me enough to correct me when I need it. I know there. I believe there's one that I had forgotten to mention. Our prayer list, Terry Bowmaster, who's in the hospitals that had heart surgery. Remember her in your prayers, please. Terry Bowmaster. The burden placed upon my heart. A couple. There's various comments and things I believe the Lord had given me, and I have great concerns. There was a particular analogy, story, that I want to read to us. I'm concerned for our country. I'm very concerned about the way our country has not served the Lord. There are many committed, wonderful Christians out there, and honor God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. There are many that don't. I believe that our nation is on a tipping point, and I want to stay as unpolitical as possible. But you know, a lot of our first political rallies and meetings were in churches during the time of the Revolution. They were in churches to use as town halls and so on in order to develop what they would, their ideas and the fervor and the passion and the plan in order to bring forth this great nation and trust it in the Lord God of heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ. And fought great wars, and much bloodshed was given in order to bring forth and to preserve liberty that we enjoy today. I have to say, we are giving it away. It is being given away. We have in the actually, I'll read this scripture here a little bit later. There was a story that I remember from time past, there was a chemistry professor in a large college that had some exchange students in the class. One day, while the class was in the lab, the professor noticed one young man, an exchange student, who kept rubbing his back and stretching as if his back hurt. The professor asked the young man what was the matter. The student told him he had a bullet lodged in his back. He had been shot while fighting communists in his native country, who were trying to overthrow his country's government and install a new communist government. In the midst of his story, he looked at the professor and asked a strange question. He said, "Do you know how to catch a wild pig?" The professor thought it was a joke and asked for the punchline. The young man said this was no joke. You catch wild pigs by finding a suitable place in the woods and putting corn on the ground. The pigs find it and begin to come every day to eat the free corn. When they're used to coming every day, you put a fence down on one side of the place where they're used to coming, and when they get used to the fence, they begin to eat the corn again, and you put up another side to the fence. They get used to and start to get used to it and start to eat again. And you continue until you have all four sides of the fence up with a gate in the last side. The pigs, who are used to the free corn, start to come through the gate to eat. You slam the gate on them and catch the whole herd. Suddenly the wild pigs have lost their freedom. They run around inside the fence, but they're caught. Soon they go back to eating the free corn. They're so used to it that they've forgotten how to forage in the woods for themselves. So they accept their captivity. The young man then told the professor that is exactly what he sees happening to America. The government keeps pushing us toward communism, socialism, and keeps spreading the free corn out in form of programs such as supplemental income, tax credit for unearned income, tax to tobacco subsidies, dairy subsidies, payments not to plant crops, welfare, medicine, drugs, etc. While we continually lose our freedoms, just a little at a time, one should always remember there is no such thing as a free lunch. You also can never hire someone to provide a service for you cheaper than you can do it for yourself. If you see that all of this wonderful government help is the problem confronting the future of democracy in America, you might want to send this on to your friends. If you think the free ride is essential to your way of life, you'll probably delete this email, but God help you when the gate slams shut. And I believe that America is on a tipping point. We must be careful. We must take a look seriously. You know, we have elections coming up. You need to pray over them. Pray over the leaders that are chosen. We need to make influence out there as the salt of the earth. But once again, remember at the beginnings of this country, the meetings were held in a lot of churches and homes, and in order for these things. And it was the author, Jesus Christ, of this country. And it is time that the Christian community, they're used to being not or staying silent as the sheep theory, and now referring to them as sheeple. And you must be careful to be the salt of the earth and to make an influence out there in the world where we're at today. I believe that the judgments of the Lord have been coming upon this country, are going to continue to come upon this country, and it's only the prayers and the presence of the righteous through Jesus Christ that the judgments of the Lord have not come more swiftly and catastrophically. And that was only one point that I wanted to make. There was a burden upon my heart, and but not the particular message that I wanted to present today. That to be into the arms of the Lord, and how important that is. And you'll see my point as we go along. There are many before us in the scriptures of history that exhibited great faith in their life and experiences. Real people in real life dilemmas that needed to use their gift of great faith to accomplish the designs of the Lord, even within great peril. And we're talking about these characters and things that come to pass, that we read about, that we teach our children about in our Sunday schools and in our adult classes as well. You know, and we have our brother Randy has been giving presentations on different characters through the scriptures, different facts concerning them, and that we may profit thereby, be encouraged and led and inspired by. We take the brother of Jared, for instance, the first group of people that come to inhabit this sector or this quarter where never before had man been, exhibited great faith, and the kind of faith that was more than able to move a mountain, the kind of faith that was able to see not only the finger of the Lord, but to see him stand before him and talk to him face to face as a man talketh with his friends. That kind of faith, great faith. And we, you know, and it's just, I'll wait to make, there's a comment that I wanted to make, but I'm going to wait upon it. Abraham needed to leave the very country of his homeland, come out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he would go into a land that the Lord would show him of. That Ur of the Chaldees was most likely that was enveloped in idol worship and abominations. And he would tell him, get thee into the country that I will show thee of, and I will make of thee a great nation. Such great faith that he was given a son, and then asked, testing his faith, would he sacrifice his own son? Great faith. Absolute great faith. Abraham was called the friend of God. How powerful, wonderful that is. Such great faith that there was three men that had come to him, three angels. He says, shall we hide from Abraham the thing that we shall do? And they told him about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah that would be destroyed. And the kind of faith that Abraham was able to talk with them and say, pre-adventure there'd be, you know, start talking about the numbers, reducing the numbers. Don't be upset with me, Lord. That type of faith in his life. The faith of Job. The faith of Job. Reading about Job, all the things that come upon him, lost everything he had. Lost family. All but his wife. And then she's basically telling him, why don't you go out and do yourself in, basically. Get it over with. And his friends basically chiding him. And I wonder how our faith would fare in such a thing. Looking to the real life examples of these human beings, just as we. Real life situations that we are not impervious to, or we're not exempt from. We look at them, and we seem somehow removed, don't we? We have the prophet Lehi and Nephi. I know our little ones are studying the Lahona right now. A director's device. A spiritual director's compass device. You know, some may call it a compass, some may call it a Rubik's Cube, or whatever you may think about it. It's something that the Lord prepared of a curious design. I had a dream about it one night. And it takes just that faith. It would tell them which way it would go. There was a time that it didn't work because they disobeyed the commandments of the Lord. It needed to be operated according to faith. The type of faith where the boys went back, were told to go back and get the records of Jerusalem, that a nation would not perish and dwindle in unbelief. When the servants of the treasury of Laban went after them in order to destroy them, to kill them. That type of faith. To go back again. Nephi said, not knowing whither he should go, but being directed by the Spirit of the Lord. To build boats in order to come over to a land they had no idea about, just that the Lord had prepared it. Into the arms of the Lord. That's the message I would like to convey this day about our lives. Are we in the arms of the Lord in all of our ways, in faithfulness? Because we're in a time that requires it. We're coming in a time that the prophets have looked forward to, a time we're going to see cataclysmic things take place within our lifetimes, within a short amount of years, no doubt. Things have already taken place that we thought never would come to pass. We don't want to even to make the list within a short amount of time. America is being poised for a fall, and also the judgments of the Lord that made sure. When we read these accounts, we're comforted and don't grasp the gravity or uncertainty each had faced in each story because of the time in which we live and the comforts and the advantages that we have. We look, you know, we see, we also know the end of each story. We've read them in our Sunday schools, and we know the end of each story. We've seen how it has come out. And what they needed to go through. Now, I don't think totally really understanding the gravity or the seriousness of each of these accounts. What they went through at the time, not knowing what we know today because we're reading it and reading the end of the story. They didn't even know where to go to get something to eat. Nephi had to, he built a bow and they inquired of the Lord, where would they go for food? That sort of a an instrument in the hands of the Lord. Today, you know, you get on your car, you turn the keys, and you go down to the store, to the restaurant, or whatever. What would you do if you weren't even able to go buy seeds? How would you even grow your garden? They took with them seeds of every kind. They took them swarms of bees where they went. Someone asked about dinosaurs here lately. Sure, they had them. And, of course, Noah had to take them on the ark. Sure as the Lord said, you shall take by two and you shall take by sevens. They were there. But the answer is right there as well, why they aren't, the big ones aren't around today. Lord told us there was a water vapor canopy where the world was as a greenhouse. Very lush vegetation, enough for them to all eat. The ones that were three stories tall, sure, there was enough to eat. After the flood, what happened? Vegetation's gone. The great herds weren't able to flourish. Even though the Bible does talk about dinosaurs, there's a leviathan, there's a behemoth, there's satyrs, there's also a unicorn that they talk about. There's a different definition with it. They call it a unicorn, maybe. It does talk about dragons. The Bible even mentions it. Well, we know the end of each of these stories, but don't realize that the excruciating situation and dilemma each of these people were in. They had to exhibit great faith in the Lord God in heaven for their very deliverance, even to the food in which they were going to eat. If you take the physical threat against Elijah, when Elijah needed to face down the prophets of Baal, and after that experience, his very life was threatened. And the Lord prepared that the ravens would feed him by the brook, along with the drinking from the brook. And then when that dried up, because remember, he prophesied of a famine and a dearth where the rains would not come. He prepared a lady with a young son. And he was to go there and to be fed. She needed to step into the arms of faith, into the arms of the Lord, to do as he had said. Some stranger comes up to you and says, I need you to cook me some food. This is the last thing that you have in the cupboard. The last thing in the cupboard. A little bit of meal in the barrel, a little cruse of oil. She needed to step in the arms of faith, that they all would be preserved. So I truly know that you are a prophet of the Lord. We're heading into a time that we talk about that there's going to be a mark. And if you don't take this mark, you can't buy or sell. We'll truly have to be stepping into the arms of faith. What we may or may not be able to do, the whole shape of our society will change. Do we believe the words in the book? Absolutely. Is there going to be a time of great upheaval? How soon, how far away is in the mind of the Lord? We have our ideas, we have our thoughts, we have our studies. The Lord God knows. We need to trust in the one that does know. We need to prepare for these things, most importantly, spiritually. In many instances, they didn't know how the day would end or the next hour because of how God's will may be designed to His glory and purposes. There were statements in the Scriptures when they said, let's wait and see how the day will unfold. There was one that inquired of the Lord. It was Saul. He inquired wrongfully because the Lord had already pronounced judgment upon him. And the messenger, whomever it was, they say it was Samuel, depends upon your opinion, said, and tomorrow you will be with me. In other words, he was going to lose his life. And so we don't know how things would turn out. We have the story of Jephthah that was a champion for Israel. He made a wrongful promise or covenant with the Lord. He should have done that. The Lord didn't require it. And he said, whomever I will see when I come back from the battle, if we triumph over their enemies, and when I come back, The one that comes out to meet me shall be sacrificed to the Lord. You see, he didn't know. Who came out to meet him was his own daughter. See, we don't know. Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made by things which are were not made of things which do appear. Now we're trying to interpret according to what man's intelligence. And we know man's intelligence has been proven wrong all along. God's word has always been vindicated, proven right. But we must have faith. Faith leads to action. It's an action word. We can't say that we have faith and do nothing. It says the devils believe and they tremble. So I guess the old joke is, do you have the faith of the devil or the faith of a saint? The faith that we each hold on to leads us to act because of the strength of our beliefs and spiritual knowledge. You are here because of things that you haven't seen, but you believed. Things that have transpired in your life. Things that have led you to the very house of the Lord in order to worship and to exhibit spiritual sacrifice. As it talks about in 2 Peter, a royal generation offering up spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord, melodies unto his name. You have come here because of the author of this day, who is Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. He's made it real to you, manifesting the truth of it to you by the way of the Holy Ghost, because you've entered in by the way to receive that which is true and holy, and it has led you here this very day. It has changed the way and the course of your life like a mighty river. Out of mists of darkness, those things that lead away from God. Think of all the things, and this is something that you can think of and ponder in your quiet time. The things that you do in your life that you do because of spiritual thinking, because of the faith that you hold on to and that you act upon because of the strength of your beliefs and spiritual knowledge. I want you to think about that. That's your piece of homework for your private time. What pieces of your life are different than everyone else's because of your belief through Jesus Christ and his Father in heaven? We act upon these things because of your faithfulness. In Moroni 10:10, we find that, behold, one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another exceeding great faith, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So exceeding, we find there may be faith, but there is exceeding great faith listed even among the gifts. And there are those that we appreciate and we praise the Lord for within our own congregation, and those that, of our brothers and sisters that that have that gift of great faith, of great faith. But when we consider all of the things that we've been teaching, or characters, or if you will, the persons, the brothers and sisters in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, and the things that they needed to accomplish, the miracles, the blessings, and in order to accomplish what was designed of the Lord, the kind of faith that they must have had, such as the brother Jared, to witness the Lord himself. He says, if it wasn't for your faith, you could not have seen these things. We couldn't have seen these things. The kind of faith that also led Moses across the desert to the mount of the Lord. To go up and to see a bush that was not consumed yet burned. Even so that he saw the hinder parts of the Lord. Within the temple, when the temple was built, when the in the wilderness sanctuary, that he sat and he communed with the Lord. He spoke with them as a friend speaketh with a friend at that table. And to commune with the Lord. To see him face to face. I believe that the scripture says he saw him face to face. I believe that's exactly the way it took place. No reason to doubt that. We see that it is amongst the gifts. And do we pray for that gift that we may have, the gift of great faith, or the gifts of healing more in abundance? We administer by the commandment of the Lord, and we depend upon the will of the Lord, that is that person to be healed or not? We would that they be, that as it said, even the shadow of Peter passing by would be a blessing and a miracle to them, that everyone is healed. Alma 9:66, talking about the callings of the ministry. Therefore, they having been chosen good and exercising exceeding great faith, are called with a holy calling, yea, that holy calling which was prepared with and according to a preparatory redemption for such. Talk about the calling of the ministry. Those exhibiting great faith, and that meaning not a pomp and circumstance to their life, but a humble, contrite meekness in their life, that the Lord can use them. Because if they're in an earthly pride, how are you going to work with a hardened substance, but a substance that is moldable for the Maker's hands? The calling of the ministry. Jesus said, if there's one great among you, make him your servant. Your ministry is supposed to be an example of the fruits, or in samples. They're supposed to see them. If you don't see the fruits of the gospel in my life, I hope you tell me, brother, you got to straighten this out, or something or other, and I'm going to depend on you for it. You need to hold up your ministry. Going on to perfection, but we're not there yet. We're trying, just like you. The Book of Mormon says the teacher's no better than the hearer. We're supposed to labor with you in the fields of life. That's why we've also labored for our own support, just like the apostles we talked about in the scriptures. They labored with their hands the thing that was good, that they would be a burden to no one. We need to be an sample. In Mosiah 5:81, and thus God hath provided a means that man through faith might work mighty miracles. Therefore he becometh a great benefit to his fellow beings. That's what it's all about. It's not about all the things, the buildings, the riches, and all these things that we could accomplish. But the farther, especially, that our belief is entrenched in the ways of the Lord, we understand that it's all about people. It's all designed for God's creation upon this piece of time. And we need to cherish our brothers and sisters. They had special meetings. It talks about in the Book of Mormon. They had special meetings to pray for the souls of those that knew not God. How precious is that? Pray for the souls that know not God. There are great decisions and tasks yet for us to accomplish. We have a piece of life yet to live, and we don't know, like Jesus talked about, what will be on the morrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We need to try to handle each day faithfully, to handle those decisions. There were decisions that those that we talked about within the scriptures needed to make at the time, because the conditions that they were within, there were great peril that they were in, even unto the laying down of their own lives. And they had a decision to make if they would follow along with the crowd or not, or step into the arms of the Lord. for his will, his design for what was to be accomplished. The major decision is if we will serve the Lord. We have many, our brother read from the scriptures this morning, you know, well, I believe we have to go on a little further in the scriptures, talking about five wise and five foolish virgins. They all denoted purity. Not all really served the Lord, did they? Must not be, because they five weren't allowed to go yet. There were those that were bidden to the marriage supper, and there are those that were not prepared. Those were not ready, and they were told to go away. There would be a punishment. Will we serve the Lord? We've entered in by the way and living by and through His commandments and being moved of His Holy Spirit. I heard there was an analogy about the Holy Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus it was as the wind. Everyone is born of the Spirit. If you step out into a mighty wind, and you feel where it's coming from, and you can either be moved with the wind to where it's going, or you can walk contrary to it and fight it. And then it gets hard. And that's where many people fight against the Spirit of the Lord, and they fight against His commandments, and they walk in rebellion. They're walking against the Spirit and will of the Lord. Instead of walking with Him, let Him move them to His direction and ways. Are we an encouragement to others and witnessing? It's very important that we're an encouragement to others and witnessing as you see the time approaching, the time of Christ, the time that that we're reading, looking forward to. If we believe it and we love our brothers and sisters, then we need to be encouraging them and leading them and edifying one another. And we cannot afford to be complacent in this world, present world, when we see morality changing by the day. And the tide of public opinion is what seems to rule. Let's just take another poll and see what the more part of the people want to do. And trying to shape the opinion of and morality of the next generation, the generation that now is. There's an analogy that there's nothing so ridiculous that you repeat it enough times, people begin to believe it. That is the truth. 2 Nephi, turn with me, if you will, over in 2 Nephi 12. 2 Nephi, in the 12th chapter. And I'd like to start at verse 24. I believe this is talking about the time in which we live. At that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. Do we see that today? Stirring them up against anger with those things which are good? They would love to take a router to the Ten Commandments on the walls of the Congress. You know they would like to. There's many that would do it tomorrow if they had the green light. Others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they shall say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. Carnal security. Do we feel comforted in that which we may have in the bank, or that which we may have in our house, or that which we may have on our food shelves? Are we comforted in a carnal security? Are we living in the arms of faith? Remember, these things are all fleeting. We'll find those of great faith. Lehi and his children needed to walk away with everything they had. Even their riches. Remember, there was a couple of them that wanted to go back and get those things just for their own security, but they actually ended up trying to barter for the plates. That wouldn't even work. And finally, it come down to man needed to give up his life for them. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them carefully down to hell. Others he flattereth, Tell them there is no hell. He saith to them, I have no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears till he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell and the devil, and all that have been seized thereof must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, for whence they must go into a place prepared for them, even a lake of fire, which is endless torment. Well, yea, therefore woe be unto him that is in ease in Zion. Woe be unto that crieth, all is well. Woe unto him that hearketh unto the precepts of men, denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Woe unto him that saith, we have received the word and we need no more. And find woe unto all those who tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. There are those that when the Lord comes back to this earth for his saints, they will walk lovingly into his arms because they've been prepared. They love him. They're looking forward to him. There are those that will be angry. Especially when tribulation times come, there will be those that are going to be, they're angry. And just shake their fist at the clouds. Those that will know that salvation is nigh, even unto their doors, as Jesus said. But are we at ease in Zion? 1 Thessalians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Are we comforting one another, strengthening one another, lifting one another up, and seeking for those that may be lost, as Jesus went after those, the one of the 99. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Do we edify and teach one another? Do we encourage one another? Strengthen one another? The Lord would not that one would perish, but all should come to repentance. Many want what they cannot have, so they wrongfully lust after it, and they covet. Lusting after it, wrongfully wanting, but coveting that they don't want you to have it either. They don't want you to have it either. Many think some of the comforts of life are owed to them, not wanting to work for them. We read that in our story. Many believe it is owed to them. In Ecclesiastes, 3rd chapter, in the 22nd verse, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. Who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? In other words, the future. That we should rejoice in our own works. Do our own work, and a man should work. And work is good for man. And that we have purpose, and that we have a gratitude in what comes forth from our labors. In Psalms 37, please turn with me there. Psalms 37. Where we find that this does happen in many cases today. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down to the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give the desires of thine heart. Of course, we know what you're asking for is within his will and commandments. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Those that maybe hit it big in the lottery, and they got several million dollars. First thing that they have to do is worry about how someone else is not going to take it from them. It's already been a snare. They already have to worry about where they can hide it, put it under a rock, so it's not slippery, as the Book of Mormon talked about. And it's already become a stumbling block. Already caused them to... And we have those that are watching where they've glorified these things. that they're already fretting. Why can't I have that? Why can't I have that? And if I can't have that, they can't have that. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth against him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. That person's judgment is coming. And it says in 10, verse 10, the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt consider his place, and it shall not be. And if you look in the book of Matthew, the parable of the tares, read that. The angels shall sever the wicked from the just. There is going to be judgment. We find today truly in our midst, as we look upon the news and look at the time which we live, yes, the wicked plotteth against the just. And you mark my word, that what will happen is, as we call sin from this very desk of teaching here, that calling sin is going to be considered hate speech. That is going to come to pass, maybe sooner than we think. Philippians 4 and 11. The Apostle Paul, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Are we content with the things that we have? Do you think for a moment that if everything that you were given, with everything that you have, if it was taken from you, would you still be content in the Lord? Of course, the only true test is if we didn't have it, right? We know that what we have right now, we're comforted in that for the possessions that we have. And we're richer than most people in the world, is what the statistics say, because of third world countries. But will we be content without it? If we're not content without it, we won't be content with it. Only in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings that he gives. Acting out in great faith, is it time for evangelism? Absolutely. And I believe that should be for all of us in our ways, in our witnessing, that we might be the means of helping another onto the gospel of salvation. In 2 Timothy 4:5, the Apostle Paul told young Elder Timothy, be thou watch thou in all things, and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Now, we all have heard the call of being a Christian, and we need to make full proof of that ministry. There were a lot of members in the early Christian church that Paul mentioned I want you to help this person. I want you to help that person, because they're out there doing a good work, and they're helping. And they're helping. And in congregations increase because congregations invite and witness and help and to encourage others. Alma 4 and 10. And as sure as the Lord liveth, so as many as believed, or as many as were brought into the knowledge of the truth through the preaching of Ammon and his brethren, according to the spirit of revelation or prophecy, and the power of God working miracles in them. Could we have that today? What do you think? Absolutely. Absolutely. Their statement was, as they went to their father in order to ask King Mosiah, can we go? And of course, a father, he says, he knows what can happen. He knows the viciousness of the enemy. He inquired of the Lord. The Lord said, you let him go. You let it go. There'll be instruments in bringing many to repentance. We cannot be caught in the world's vacuum today, calling good evil, evil good. And the vacuum, it wants to take away that which is good. It takes away substance. and find a vacuum today of morality coming fast and furious. Now, I mentioned to you before about the word entropy, and I hope that you've looked it up. If not, do. Certain means of degeneration to a certain end. Of course, we see the words of the book. Take a look in Matthew 24, what's coming. We cannot be in the vacuum, calling good evil and evil good. We must stand in the whirlwind of the Lord's power, being moved by it, strengthened of the Lord's power in His Spirit and direction and care. We need to be building the virtues that last. Building the virtues that last. Do we think about going on to impeccable character and virtue? 2 Peter 3:10. Please turn with me there. Very powerful scripture. Second Peter. Oh, just a moment here. I think I have that. 2 Peter 1, 3-10. I got to go get a new pair of glasses tomorrow. These are pretty scratched up. That's my story right now, and I'm sticking to it. Truthfully, if I showed these to you right now, you'd probably wonder, is this guy, anyway. But according as His divine power hath given unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. We've been called through Jesus Christ unto glory and to virtue, impeccable, godly character, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Escaped. If you escaped what was in the world through lust, that was bondage, wasn't it? If you escaped from it, it was a certain enemy. You escaped. But beside this, all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So the question is, when is it good time to add these things? Can I just pronounce myself to have all patience? Can I pronounce myself to have all temperance? Can I just say that I'm all virtuous? Okay, right now, this is what I say that I am. Are you going to believe it? You'd better see fruits of it, right? And it means I need to be building in this life to attain to that virtue. I need to be building in this life, and others are going to know those fruits, like he said, are something that others are also going to be able to see. How would we have decided or performed when told to leave our homes and substance, such as Lehi's family? We see, we're not caused to do that right today. But then again, you haven't got home yet. You haven't got home yet, all right? But what if you were asked to leave your home and your substance? The Lord told Lehi, guess what? They're going to seek your life. You take your family and you go. And don't look back. Our brother told us an example where the Spirit of the Lord, when we were at reunion, they were trying to promote the gospel of Christ, and they had these precious tracts that they'd taken in order to promote it. And the Spirit of the Lord kept telling them, that they're breaking into the car, they're coming to kill you, or this or that. You go now. Are we in a condition that we could receive such information? But what about leaving our homes, our substance, our families? Could we do it? How would our faith have held to go on, such as Job did? How would our faith have held on? He had sores, putrefying sores and boils. Lost his sons and his daughters. And it kept going on. And finally, at the end of the whole matter, he had to be rebuked, and he said, "Job, you've spoken presumptuously. You've spoken against what you didn't know about." And the Lord Job needed to be humbled at the very last of it all. After all he did, how would your faith have handled that? To go through those afflictions, how would your faith have handled it? I don't think, you know, we don't hold a candle. Can that happen today? It's a good question, isn't it? Would we have refused to worship an image or go along with the crowd as the three Hebrew boys or Daniel with the lion's den? Daniel had great faith, and he said, surely, he said that the Lord will take care of me and shut the lion's mouths. He didn't know the end of the matter. We see the end of the matter, and we know that he made it through. He had great faith. He made it needed to give in his life for the Lord. That's that kind of assurance that he had. What about the three Hebrew boys that wouldn't worship the image? And they said, what hour that you don't do as you're told here now, you're going to get shoved into the furnace. And the great brick kilns of Babylon did exist. They have found foundations of them. In order to temper bricks, they're burned thoroughly, very hot, so they'll last. And they said that the guards even fell back and died when they threw the boys in. And then there were three that thrown in. Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't I throw only three in there? I see four. And the other looks like the Son of God. Of course, it begs the question, how did he know that he was the Son of God? But what would we have done? There are many that will shy away from a crowd because they're not saying the things that, you know, there aren't or what we would be thinking, or we know we should be saying something against it, but we don't want to risk being unpopular or whatever. Some of them may be our own friends. What about the popular doctrines of the world? Shall we reprove them? There are such things out there that are against the scriptures. It's just not even funny. Not even funny. Not truthful. And they're leading the souls of the children of men astray. That's why the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and the setting up of Christ's church, this latter day needed to occur according to the prophecies of the Lord that we've seen to come to pass and in history. Ephesians 5 and 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. We're called to be salt of the earth. Are we going to let such conundrums go by? Shall we be the salt that Jesus commanded us to be? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In Psalms 119 and 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the middle of the night, get out of your bed, walk across the room with the light out. Don't turn on the light. Put a few obstacles in the way. A couple of kids' toys, some Legos especially. Those will feel really good. A little farm tractor. Boy, that's something else. You get a little metal John Deere farm tractor, put it in the middle of the way during the night. Don't turn on the light. Walk through the room. You'll probably see a real-life representation of what the Lord's talking about here. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Fits right along with Lehi's vision, doesn't it? The rod of iron, the end of the tree of life. And savoring that fruit. Don't walk away and do not let others point the mocking finger at you, which you know to be true, just because other things are more popular because of their prosperings in whatever designs. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How do you acknowledge him in your life? What is your consecration to the Lord, his gospel, and his word? Are you acknowledging him in all thy ways? We got to watch that we're not complacent with the designs of the world. And once again, I'm going to say it that watch your voting this November. Your choice, as it talks about in the scriptures, this is the land of liberty under Jesus Christ. So your vote will mean where you stand. Pray about it. Romans 8 and 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That time the Apostle Paul, talking, giving that reference for us there to live by, he said that there were many times that he was stoned, thought dead, carried out of the city, he was beaten, he was whipped for Christ's sake. Along with the rest of the apostles, they were hunted down afterwards. They were hunted. And this is the statement that they make. This is the statement that he makes. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Jesus said that I have come that you may have joy, and that your joy may be full. And so we cannot let the devil, roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may devour, steal your joy. He is a terrorist. He is a coward. I don't invite him on, but he is a coward. And he knows his end. So do you. You've read it. You know his end. It reminds you about your present and your past. You remind him of his future. And so, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your fellowship. Thank you for your encouragement. Be here to help edify me, to encourage me as well as everyone else.